Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now tuned to the Sitting in the Park show. Today we're going to be starting off with an interview for part of the show with a group called the Puzzle People. We have two of the members up in the studio right now. You guys, you want to introduce yourselves?
My name is Larry Ross from East Chicago, Indiana. I sing bass and lead of the Puzzle People.
Okay.
James J.J. Janigan. I sing lead, first tenor, and second tenor.
Okay, so today, at least for the start of the show, we'll be talking about sort of the story of your guys' group and how you formed and playing the record you released. So, first of all, you guys already said you're from East Chicago, is that right?
Right.
So, are all the members of the group from East Chicago?
Yes.
Okay, so around what years did the group form?
We formed in about 1971, and we basically disbanded about 1993.
Okay, so you guys were together for a while.
20-something years.
So, first of all, so you formed in 71. Were you in high school at the time?
Well, we all had graduated, and we always had the urge to sing, so as soon as we graduated, a lot of us got together, and we eventually formed the Puzzle People.
Okay.
Well, see, we used to be in different events, musical events in school.
Okay.
We belong to choral clubs, glee clubs.
Okay.
Swing 16 clubs, things like that. And this is what we were. We were all into musical music school.
And what school did you go to again?
East Chicago Washington High School.
Okay, and that's where pretty much all the East Chicago groups went, right? Like the Opals are from there, and the Enchanting Chanters are from there.
Right.
We used to be on the same talent shows with them.
So were they a little bit older than you?
No, we're about the same age.
Okay.
We're getting up there.
They just got started singing in a group when you were in high school, and you guys just waited until after school to start. So in school, none of you even sang in unofficial groups. You just sang in like clubs, you were saying.
Right.
So what inspired you to actually form a vocal group?
Well, the love we had for music, as Jay said, we were all in high school doing shows, singing in the choir club, and so we decided to extend it farther once we finished high school. And that's when we got together, and instead of singing on the street lamps and all, we started singing in different clubs and been around all around in different places singing.
So you guys were like doo-wopping just in the street or singing before that?
Right.
Okay. And then you formed an official group. So were you guys all in the same class?
No, we are different. Well, basically, some of us in about the same age. Jay graduated a few years.
Right. Well, see, they knew of me. They knew about me.
Okay.
And they knew that I was heavy into the music thing. And in fact, see, I had graduated, went on to the service I did in Vietnam, and I came home.
Okay.
When I got home, that's when they...
So they already were a few guys singing together, and they brought you in.
Right.
Right.
So can we say who did the group lineup ever change after that? Was it the same set of guys?
No, it's been some changes through the years, you know.
So what was the initial set of guys that were singing together?
My name, Larry, JJ, John Carlisle, Johnny Dotson, and Urban Bailey.
Okay. And so were the four of you guys singing together and you met JJ? Like, what's the story?
Well, we were always looking for someone willing to sing and who had a nice voice.
Okay.
Who could go along with ours. So that's when we searched around for a while, and then we eventually hooked up with JJ here.
Okay.
And then we were fired. We were together. We were together for about 13 years with JJ.
Okay.
But then after then, you know, it had been different personnel changes because of different situations. You know, people had to take care of certain things so they couldn't devote all their time to music.
So when the group initially formed, you guys were just kind of singing together in your house. Did you guys start doing shows? What happened?
Well, that's right. You want to give him a word on that?
Well, we started rehearsing and stuff in different guys' houses and things like that there. And while we were rehearsing or doing these, we would go out, and each one of us was a booking agent.
Okay.
Anybody in the group could, wherever you can find a gig at,
okay,
go get the gig.
So you guys, so what kind of shows did you do?
Well, we were doing nightclub acts. The very first show we actually did with a band behind us was in Gary. okay. here in Indiana.
Okay.
And it was at a lodge, a hall.
Okay.
And that was the first time we did a show with a band behind us.
Okay.
That was with Lorenzo?
Lorenzo Smith's band.
Lorenzo Smith, yeah.
Okay.
And he was Lorenzo was out of Hammond.
Okay.
Hammond, Indiana. Yeah.
So were you guys called the Puzzle People back then?
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
How'd you come up with the name of the Puzzle People? Is it from the...
Well, we were always looking for some kind of name that would, like, coincide with what we kind of shows we were doing.
And the personality.
And the personality. And, you know, we all like, you know, different personality. We did like a puzzle. So then I saw the picture on the Temptations album, Puzzle People. So that's how we decided to get the name the Puzzle People.
Okay. And were you kind of inspired by the Temptations,
well,
too?
Well, yeah. We had a lot of the blend and the kind of, you know, the kind of music they were into. We were, like, into it as well. They were, like, mentors to us.
And their choreography and things like this here. And they really inspired us, especially when it came to choreography and the vocal.
Yeah, like you can tell in the sound, too, because you guys, first of all, you were a five-man group and you had five-part harmony like the Temptations.
Yeah, we were doing a lot of a cappella shows at one time as well.
And, yeah, and I was going to say you had a bass, too, which was not that common for the soul era.
Right, right.
So you said you did a cappella shows. What kind of music did you do under shows?
Well, we were doing a lot of a cappella tunes by, what's the name of the group that we were? Well, anyway, they were an a cappella group out of New York, and we picked up a lot of tunes.
Persuaders?
Persuaders, yeah.
Okay.
We were doing a lot of things by them. They had some good vocal a cappella tunes.
So it was the Persuasions, I think.
Persuasions.
Yeah. So you guys, your big thing initially was doing a cappella.
Right, because we had trouble finding a band.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, big trouble. A lot of trouble. And the bands were... They were just so unsettled, we couldn't keep them together.
Okay, so you tried at points to get a band together.
Yeah.
So you did actually, a lot of your shows were a cappella shows where you
yeah.
just did, like, Temptation style a cappella?
Sure enough, until about 4 years later, we eventually, some young guys out of high school, about 5-6 years younger than us, they came together, and a lot of them played in bands in high school.
In fact, some of them were still in high school.
Okay.
Because when we would go do a club, go do a nightclub, we would like have to sign for them.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. When was what years were that? What years did you find that band?
That was about 77, 76, 77, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And they were some young guys. They was named Mandingo.
Okay.
They had a great group. They had horns and a drummer who was out of sight. His name was Jeffrey Jokes. And the horn section, they were real nice.
So you hooked up with a band of almost all high school students at the time called
yeah.
Mandingo, and they became your band.
Yeah.
So
when
so
they graduated, that's when we started traveling, doing different shows around.
So you were together before that for about 6 years without a band, and you just did. So at shows, you mainly did a cappella, or did you have bands behind you who were the house band?
As he said, Lorenzo Smith, he used to. Hook us up with different gigs, and they played behind us.
Okay.
He had a professional band.
Okay.
You know, they were doing a lot of orchestrated stuff.
Okay. And also, we already mentioned, you played the show in Gary. Was most of your shows in the East Chicago, Gary area? Did you come to Chicago a lot? What was the story?
Yeah, we were all around Hammond, Gary, East Chicago, South Bend, Michigan City.
So it's mainly the Northwest Indiana area?
University of Indiana.
Okay.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All around.
What were some of the big shows that you guys did?
The biggest one I remember we did at the High Chaparral with Betty Wright and the other entertainer, I forget his name, I think it was Johnny Taylor someone, but that
okay.
was at the High Chaparral back when they had the High Chaparral back in the 70s.
Okay, so you like opened up for them or
yeah,
something?
Right.
And was that after you got your band together?
That after we got the band together, true enough, yeah.
Okay, well, we've been talking for a while. I want to play one of the sides of the record you ended up recording, and then we could talk some more about how the record got recorded. So, and the listeners, you know, if they listen, they can listen for the Temptations type of sound I was talking about.
Right.
So this is the Puzzle People. This track is called Reach for the Truth.
Believe it. for three or four more. We'll do this for a variety.
Okay, that was just the Puzzle People with their record Reach for the Truth. And if you're just tuning in right now, I have two members of the Puzzle People telling the story about their group. So that record came out, we were just talking about it, came out around 1977. And that record came out on a label called AMG Records. So I was wondering if you could talk about what's the story, like how you got a record released on this label and where the label was from and what the story was.
Okay, what happened was it was kind of like a freak type thing because we got the word one day, Irvin Bailey got the word one day that they had a representative from AMG.
Okay.
At that time it was the Holiday Inn.
Okay.
And he was interviewing people,
and
that for, you know, to do music.
And the label was it was based in Cincinnati, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And what happened was okay. So some it's been a long time now, but anyway, we hooked up with this guy. We went to the hotel. We auditioned for him.
Okay.
He loved it, and then he said he would get back to us.
Okay.
And
what was the guy's name? That
I forget his name. Okay. It was Bob something. I never cared to think of his last name.
Okay.
And after a while, he got back to us. He was prompt about what he was doing. When he got back to Cincinnati, he got back in contact with us and said they were very interested in our sound and would like to produce us.
So when you met with him at the Holiday Inn, did you give him a demo tape or did you audition for him?
We just auditioned.
So you just sang in front of the dude.
Just sang a cappella.
And then the guy called you back.
Right.
From, and then the song, did you record it yourself and give it to them, or did they have, what's the story with the song?
Well, that's when they had the tape. They sent us a tape and had so many different sounds on it, and we just picked out the ones we thought was good for us, and that's when we went and decided to record the two songs that you are currently playing.
So he sent you like kind of a demo thing with just some music on it, and then he asked you to pick out a song.
Sure.
So you guys didn't even know the songs. You just picked two songs out of the 10 that he sent you.
That's right.
And so did you record it in Indiana, or what's the story with that?
Well, we ended up going to Cincinnati. They had a studio in Cincinnati, and we packed up and went down there, and it took us about a couple, 3 days to record in the studio. And then after that was done, they sent it to Nashville, and that's where we had to go to Nashville and re-edit certain things, and that's when they mastered it all.
Okay, so but you had to go to Nashville. Did you record any more in Nashville, or just you were there for the editing?
Just editing, and yeah, that's basically what it was. And, you know, we put more sounds in, and you know, they put more different levels in,
okay,
on top, you know, layers of on the music.
So the guy then he pressed up the record. And he just didn't promote it. Is that what the story is?
No, I think he had about 500,000 copies or so, and we got so many. And then he was supposed to try to promote with different stations, but they never did really.
Yeah, I heard stories about.
A high time for me as far as that the music was concerned was when Dick Clark, they had what was called Radar Record.
Okay.
And one Saturday morning, sure enough,
it was on there.
It was on there. So we ended up with about a 96 score.
So it was on the actual Dick Clark Syndicated. Was a radio show?
Dick Clark
was
it Bandstand.
American Band.
Was it on TV or on
radio? On television.
So they played your record on the TV, and people danced to
right,
it?
And they had people rating it as how well they liked it.
Okay.
And so when they got through tabulating everything, we ended up with a score of, out of 100, we ended up with a score of 96.
That's around 77, 78 that happened.
Right. Sure.
That's cool. It'd be cool to get that footage of.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's available or not, but
right.
But yeah, it'd be cool to see people dancing to your record on the Dick Clark show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that record didn't get really promoted.
No.
So then did you ever end up, so you guys were together for a while after that. Did you guys ever record anything, or you mainly just did shows?
We just did shows. We never did record anything again.
So it was, I know, like, I mean, was it mainly because it was hard to get hooked up with a record deal at that time?
Sure enough.
Okay.
Yeah. We you know, we were trying this and trying that and trying to get someone to invest in us.
Okay.
But we just couldn't get the people behind us that we needed.
Yeah.
With the collateral.
Yeah, like I know in the late 70s especially, like a lot of record labels just left the city. Like in the early 70s or whatever, there were a lot of labels around, but they kind of packed up mid-70s, and there was like a scandal with Brunswick Records. Like it was just,
yeah,
a lot of labels went to L.A. pretty much. So let me play the other side of the record you cut, and then we could talk a little bit more. This is The Puzzle People with Make You Mine.
You are to me. You got my mind is blazing. Lovely woman, always a gun. Someone like you so hard to find. Gonna do what you want to do. Gotta make you mine, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, baby, yeah. Mostly every day I pray that you would surely come away. Just can't bear this pain to hide. I got to have you by my side. Make you mine, yeah, 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 oh yeah.
Gonna do what you want me to do.
You know that's just what I'll do. This heart of mine
is killing me. Help me, baby. I hope one day you'll see.
Gonna do what you want me to do.
Gonna
mind, you see. That's the one you've got to be. You can't bear this pain to hide. Got to have you by my side. Gonna do what you want to do. Gotta make you mine, baby.
Make it mine.
Gotta make you mine, baby. Yeah, yeah. Gotta make you mine, baby. When you love me, hold me in your arms, make some good love to me now, baby. Know that I love you, I've got to have you, so come on, baby, just one more time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that was just the Puzzle People with a track called Make You Mine. And if you're just tuning in, we have in the studio a couple members of the Puzzle People talking about their group, who again were from East Chicago, Indiana. So we were just talking about how that song, it got both the record got pressed by this company AMG in Cincinnati, and even got played on American Bandstand, but it wasn't promoted or distributed, so it didn't do anything. So after that record, and we talked about how you couldn't find recording opportunities, but you guys did stay together for a long time after the record. You stayed together till the 90s, you said, right?
Right, right.
So what kind of activities did you do in the 80s and '90s?
Well, we did a lot of shows on the road. We went to... We took trips to Nashville, Tennessee. We did shows with the Dramatics and Gary. We did a show in Nashville, Tennessee. We did the show with Dexter Wanzel. Then we left there. We did a show down in New Orleans, in Jackson, Mississippi. And then we decided to go out to California. We rented a motorhome.
Okay.
And rode all around to south, all the way out to California.
Okay.
Hollywood, California, to do a thing with that.
Gong show.
The Gong show.
You went on the Gong show?
I couldn't go.
Okay.
I didn't make the trip with them because in the group, I was the only one married.
Yeah.
And had a child. And so I dropped out. That's when Milton Chisholm.
Okay.
We broke him in, and trained him, and he took the trip. He took my place.
What year were you on the Gong show?
78, 79, somewhere.
So it was after your record came out, but still in the 70s.
Right.
Did you get Gong? Did you make it through?
No, we never did make it on TV.
Oh, okay.
We did audition.
They qualified, but
we never did see it on TV.
Okay.
We thought we would get a break or someone would see us and be ready to, you know, put money into us and promote us. But it never did come to fruition.
So you guys went to L.A. pretty much right after that record was recorded then?
About a year or so later.
And how long did you stay in L.A.?
We took a trip. We were gone for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we did a few shows there, a cappella.
Okay.
But we always, like, at that time, that's when we went to Nashville, to New Orleans, to Jackson, Mississippi, then out to L.A.
And then what about the 80s?
We were still doing shows in different lounges and different clubs. And that was basically what we were doing. The shows we did with Dramatics, that was an outside thing they had in Gary, Indiana.
At Gleason Park?
At Gilroy Stadium.
Gilroy Stadium, yes. Right.
Okay.
And that was a... We had a lot of fun with that.
And did you have a following in East Chicago or local following?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we had a large following.
Okay.
A large following. And just about anywhere we would go, all we had to do was let them know.
Okay.
And word of mouth was spread.
Okay.
And whatever show we were on, and the place would be packed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not just in East Chicago, but also in Gary and other areas.
This is all over. In
Michigan City.
And we had people that would really follow us. They would go to Joliet. Up in Michigan.
Jackson, Michigan.
And okay. All they wanted to know was where you're going to be at.
Okay.
And what time you're supposed to perform.
And what were your shows like? Like you talked about, you at that point in time you had a band, right? Were you still with that Mandingo band?
Yeah.
And did the members of Mandingo ever do anything else, do you know?
No, once they broke up, that was it. So a couple of them played in different groups, but they never did get back together as Mandingo.
And you guys, what were your shows like? You said you had a lot of choreography, too. So you had a lot of steps that you did?
We used to rehearse some, like,
5 days a week.
5 days a week, twice a day, 3 or 4 hours, twice a day.
Okay.
And just on the, you know, mainly on the choreography.
Okay. And so that's what you did throughout the 80s, and then you said in the early 90s, around 93, you disbanded. Just because it was hard to get shows?
And then we were getting older, the guys getting off into different things. You know,
okay.
Something to make money at.
Okay.
And because Urban Bailey, what he did was he was a college graduate.
Okay.
What school is that in Normal, Illinois?
Was it NIU?
Something like that. He graduated from college and stuff, so he had set a timetable as to how long he was going to do with this.
Okay.
Before he,
So he's like, I gotta get done with college.
He had finished college.
Okay.
He finished college and he came to us and he says, well, he's only going to do this so long.
And he started a career after that.
We haven't made it in so many years. Then he said, oh, hey, I got to move on.
Okay. And has any of you continued to do any sort of music?
Well, I had a club, the Blue Max Lounge, that just closed back in February, but I was open for 18 years at the Blue Max Lounge, and we used to do shows in my club.
Okay, where was your club located?
In East Chicago, Indiana, 3514 Main Street, East Chicago, Indiana.
So it was a lounge?
It was a lounge, yeah.
And you said it just closed recently?
Yeah, they're making way for, they rezoned it residential, they're going to put apartments.
Okay.
Over in the area now.
And anyone else did stay with music, or do any music, like even record?
Well, every now and then I may go to a place where they have a band, and I may get up and do some singing. They
okay.
like to hear me sing, so I may get up and do it.
Like a local hero. Okay, well, I gotta say thanks so much for coming down and telling your story. Any last words for the audience?
Well. But the only thing I can say is, I wish we could have got that music to you.
Yeah, there was so much talent and so few groups actually were able to make it, just because there's, so hard to get a deal and get promotion.
True. It's a tough field, you know. Anybody that's in the music, don't give up if you feel that you really have something going. Continue to do it.
As I said, we continued to do it for how many years?
About 23 years.
About 23 years. So it just never. Came to fruition, yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, at least you're getting your record played now. So.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay, cool. Well.